I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history.
I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on Earth. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Most Haunted City on Earth. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And today we are joined by Papa Yoni. We have a very special guest with us. So.
Hey, everybody. Yes. Glad to be here.
We're very excited for you to be here. We actually met Papa Yoni at the paranormal convention here in Savannah back in October.
Yes.
And he was selling his thingamajigs, and we'll get into that later on. But we were so enamored by what he does. So, of course, we had to bring him on the podcast for all of y'all. So, now, Papa Yoni, would you like to introduce yourself further?
Yes, thank you. So I'm Papa Yoni Das, originally from Gary, Indiana. I lived in New Orleans for the last 2 years. I just moved to Savannah. July of last year.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I've been studying metaphysics for many years. I tell people I've gone from Hindu to Hindu. All the dues, getting them mixed up. I've paid my dues.
There you go.
So I have a master's in metaphysical science, and I'm working towards a PhD in theocentric psychology.
Wow.
Yes, yes. I have certification in shamanic practice, shamanism. And so it's pretty eclectic, my practice and my study. Yeah.
So is that kind of the term you would call, like, your practice in particular is just eclectic? Or do you have a particular term you use to describe your metaphysical beliefs?
I call it, I've termed something for myself, I call it Azazelous. I'm an Azazelot.
No, there you go.
I'm zealous about the teachings of Azazel. And so that's what I practice. I learn from Azazel. He's a teacher of mine, spirit mm-hmm. guide of mine. So that's what I am. When people ask, what's your spiritual path? I'm an Azazelot.
I like it. That's a good.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That's a incredible. Really good way to describe it, you know? And also, just so y'all know, he brought like a bunch of really fun
show and tell
sort of surprises for us. So you guys are going to get to see all of that. So tell us a little bit how you got into this practice.
I was 18. I'll try to give you the short version.
Sure.
I was 18 and I had a spiritual emergency. You know, a lot of people, when they come into their spiritual awakening, it's an emergence, and it's gradual, and it's peace and love, and that was not my experience at all. It was jarring. It was frightening. I had a Kundalini awakening, and I didn't know anything about Kundalini. I only know now, after having studied Hinduism, as I said, for many years, and all the other metaphysics. I felt it, if I can describe it briefly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a surge that went from my groin up to my navel. It was like heat. And it went up my spine, and I could feel it in my center. And it went all the way up to the base of my skull. And I got in a cold shower. I had never taken a cold shower before, but I said, I've got to do something. And it was horrible. For months, I had residual effects. And I had to heal from that. But this was my shamanic initiation, truly. And if we lived in ages past, where there were, you know, different tribes, different cultures, they had the shamanic healers, the medicine men. I would have been taken under their wing and brought up to be the next village medicine man.
Wow.
But we don't live in such a society.
No.
We live in where we have Western medicine. And so
I don't know how the insurance premiums work on that.
Right? Yeah, I'm just trying to get chiropractic. That's hard enough. But yes, I had a healing journey. It threw my life, you know, upside down. I was in school for acting. I had just started earning my BFA in acting. It was my first quarter, But ever since then, nothing was the same. My drive, I lost that drive to pursue that. My priorities were different. And so that's when I started studying all these metaphysical topics, because I experienced ego death, truly. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't at all attracted to fame and fortune anymore. So I'm a completely different person than I would have been. I'd probably be in L.A. right now with a lot of money and prestige. Sure. But I probably would not have been, would not have cultivated as much depth. I would not be as dynamic of a person. I would not be as caring, compassionate.
I've heard stories similar to that from people who entered the priesthood. Mm. The call, you know, that they suggest that, because there's many people who just follow a path to it, but there's some people who have this very intense physical, like, sensation of being struck by the need to enter into that service. And I've heard it time and time again that call brings with it heat, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah. And even I remember when I was researching spontaneous human combustion, the concept of the chakras, you know, firing up, because the way the body burns, they imagine that the association is in that chakra, and then the whole body just collapses in on that, you know, because the slightest misalignment of your chakras can have amazingly devastating effects.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, absolutely.
I completely agree with that. I mean, so do you think that a certain deity was calling for you, or do you think that there was a specific entity that was trying to nudge you in the right direction?
I'm not so sure about that. I was coming into being my true authentic self.
Sure.
And the ego was not going down without a fight. The ego, it kept me trapped. After I was trying to heal, I had to go back. I had to take a year off from school, by the way.
Wow.
Yes. But when I returned, I was forced to do these things that the ego had built up to continue in this false life. So I did indeed earn my bachelor's of fine arts in acting. But it was a struggle. Every day was a struggle. I feel that if there was an entity nudging me in that direction, it was Azazel. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even learn of Azazel until 2022.
Now, is this the Azazel of Judean?
He's mentioned in that paradigm.
Right,
yes.
And in that paradigm, of course, he was demon of...
Yeah, he's
a demon name. Yeah, he's a scapegoat. And we've talked about this many times on this podcast, that when religions need to address an entity of any power, they immediately, you know, label it with dark terms and dark things.
Yes.
So that would be the figure that you're speaking
this
of.
This is the figure that I'm speaking of. But he is in no way evil.
No.
And
that was something that we discussed too, because if you go against any principled belief that is trying to cast aspersions, they see you as evil just by being different.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So how did you end up getting into working with Azazel?
Another long story. I'll keep it short.
We don't mind long stories.
Yeah, okay.
So I met in 2021, the December of 2021, I met a young woman named Sage on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It was a Facebook dating group. I think it was called Ayahuasca Dating. And so I posted. I said, I'm planning on backpacking in South America. Who would like to come? And she messaged me. And we would talk every day. We would message each other every day and send voice messages. And we just got so close. I never met her in person, but we had such a connection. And her name on Instagram, where she would draw all these pictures, and they were kind of like dark themed. They had dark themes to them. Her name was Aza is Rising. And she would draw herself, what seemed to be her, but with horns and, you know, like, you know, kind of dark. And One day I said to her, well, I love this, you know, that there's a second you, this alter ego. She said, well, that's not me. That's Aza. That's my demonic altar. And I didn't question it. I didn't question it. I you know, because I didn't want to think of her as, you know, worshiping demons or, you know, there's a lot of connotations to these things, you know. But I saw her as good. She convinced me to go to Peru. I went to Peru, and I don't know if I can mention what I did there here.
That's a good question. Let's circumvent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a good time.
I understand.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And people who do understand will understand.
Yes. So.
And I got a bit of enlightenment that I never expected to get.
Sure.
At a retreat. And when I came back, and I even messaged her while I was there. When I came back, 2 weeks later, first I'll say, in my mailbox was a letter from her. Okay. Mm-hmm. And she lived in Canada. I didn't mention that part. She lived in Canada. That's why we never met in person. Mm. She had passed away by the time I read that letter.
Oh, my.
Oh.
I learned that she had passed away while on set of a movie.
Mm.
There's a movie called Bottoms. And I play the mascot. Don't look at the movie. It's not that kind of movie. I know it sounds like it might be that kind of movie.
Teenage Fight Club movie?
It's a Teenage Fight Club movie with a terrible name and a terrible mascot, and I'm that mascot.
My kid loves that movie.
Is that right? anyway, I learned of her passing on that set. And, you know, it's funny now to think about me in this costume. You saw the movie. What the costume looks like.
I've seen the costume. I haven't watched the movie yet, but okay. my kid is literally like, you need to watch this movie.
Well, he has a huge phallus.
Right.
the mascot. He is a dog. And so, you know, people are walking around, you know, laughing, smacking parts of my costume. And here I am just, I'm
devastated.
I'm crying, you know. Oh. So, it's, you know, it's kind of funny when you think about it. But she was my girlfriend pretty much.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
And, but anyway, getting back to how I came to know Azazel, her mother called me, and her friend reached out to me because this is how close we were. She had spoken to them about me, and her friend said, Sage got into some pretty dark things towards the end there, and she told me that she has a gift. And she was telling me, I know for you, you're supposed to stay closer to the light, stay grounded to earth. And I just was questioning because I never thought of Sage as a dark entity. She was so good to me. And so then I started looking into her drawings and who is this Azza? And so I had a book. It was the Encyclopedia of Spirits. And I looked up Azazel and it spoke about Azazel. And in the bottom, it said, see also Peacock Angel. And that got me because I've got peacock tattoos on my shoulders.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I thought I was getting it for Krishna. But it's all come full circle. And so I learned even more about Azazel. And the more I learned, the more I said, wow, me and Sage were linked spiritually. And all these things I started to learn after her passing, it's like she was teaching me posthumously from beyond. Mm-hmm. And it's really just opened up a whole other dimension for me spiritually. So that's why I always wear the peacock over my third eye,
mm-hmm.
Because I don't worship what I call Tausi Devi, that's Azazel, Melek Taus. Mm-hmm. I don't worship him because he's not a god. He never tried to convince anyone that he was a god. But he is a way shower. He is a light bearer. You know, he is all those other archetypes we hear of, Prometheus, mm-hmm. Enki, Lucifer. He's all these things.
And that is important to note for those of you who are listening, who are looking into deity work. There's a difference between worshiping and also working with a deity because they're not comorbid, if you will. They You can do one without doing the other, and you can also call upon some entities and some deities in that way. So I think it was interesting that you brought that up.
Yeah. Worship is often a part of surrender to a deity rather than actively interacting. Mm-hmm. A lot of people make that mistake with their faith, that the faith has more agency than you do. And somewhere along that, then that's what becomes dangerous in the practice, is you kind of like, Lord, take the wheel. That sensation is, it's commendable, but the Lord doesn't know how to drive. So be careful. You know, you'll end up in a tree.
Yeah. I want to show you this tattoo I got for Sage. This is the last thing she said to me.
Oh,
wow.
And her name was Sage Rose. And enjoy your adventure was the last thing she said to me. And she was talking about, well, I assume she was just talking about, you know, my Peruvian adventure. Mm-hmm. Now she, looking at the timeline of all the messages and everything, and when she passed the very next day after sending me that message.
Wow.
So maybe she was talking about enjoy your life adventure.
Sure.
You know? But it's very, you know, it's very profound. I had never lost anyone I cared about before. So.
Well, and it's fascinating too, that it seems like she kind of knew that your life was at the beginning, really, or at least your spiritual life is at the beginning. And so that's very heartwarming, and it gave me chills.
I was going to say, it's amazing because, I mean, even in that screen name of Azza Rising, it sounded like she was always a bridge for that event, you know, for the eventuality of your awakening.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool. That feels like destiny
and kismet
and all the things that people are quick to dismiss because they're like, that's coincidence. No, there's no such thing. And certainly not at that level.
No, way too many connections to be coincidence.
Exactly. So getting into kind of your structure of how you practice, I know you brought on your whiteboard kind of a breakdown of it. Would you like to show everybody?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
So this is my symbol, my logo, if you will, for Azza Zealous Outreach. This is my ministry, where I try and share the knowledge and teachings that I've learned to help people gain their own spiritual sovereignty, their autonomy, free themselves from the dogma and, you know, indoctrination through doctrine. That's taken over most people's spiritual lives. So here we have the logo here. There's an A there. Any angle you look, there's an A for Azazel or Azazelis, and there's an O in the middle for outreach. There's an X, you'll notice here, an X here, an X here. So that's for expansion, expression, and experience. Right, because that's what we're doing at every stage in our life. Mm-hmm. We're either expanding, we're experiencing, or we're expressing. Right, the Big Bang. When the Big Bang happened, that was an expansion, immediate expansion. Why the self wanted to experience itself. Right, so there was an expansion, and then there was an expression, because the self expresses itself through all of us. We are expressions of the self, the one source. And then the source gets to experience through us. And we are just the opposite. We first have experience. And we take that experience and we express ourselves as a response to our experiences. And depending on how we express ourselves, we are expanding. Really, we're expanding either way. It's just, are you expanding in a favorable way or an unfavorable way? But however you express yourself in response to an experience is how you expand. So that's part of, you know, my teachings. There you also see, you'll see three M's, you know. That's for magic, metaphysics, and mysticism. Mm-hmm. So magic is really the base level. Magic is trying to affect change outside of yourself and your environment. Mm-hmm. Metaphysics is the next level. It's less egoic. and that's trying to affect change within oneself. Tuning one's own consciousness, their state of mind. And then you have mysticism, wherein you realize no change is needed. You know, you're one, and everything is as it should be. And then once you, quote unquote, mastered, you know, there's different levels of mastery. But once you've mastered mysticism, rather, then you can circle back and your magic is empowered, right? And when you work your magic as a mystic, then you have better knowledge as to when to have restraint, what not to do. And you'll rarely, you know, you'll really, rarely feel called to use it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very similar to the Eastern path to enlightenment. Mm-hmm. And anybody who has studied any of the internal martial arts knows that the effective change that you make externally versus the one internally ultimately leads to, you know, your enlightenment. And enlightenment is the concept of one, of not needing to affect change because change is irrelevant at a certain point because all things occur, mm-hmm. you know, simultaneously. And I find that fascinating that, you know, you can come to different brands of it, because I think that almost every, you know, esoteric art will have some path to the higher being. And it usually does involve getting through the physical, the ego, getting through that, you know, piece of the puzzle. And for the vast majority of humanity, that's where we live. That's where we exist.
Yeah.
And to a certain degree, there's no reason to do more. There's no reason to dig in if you're satisfied. If, you know, it would be weird if everyone was enlightened. Yeah. You know, what a strange world that would be.
It's very true. I mean, what would we learn from each other at that point? So I think really, I guess where you're coming from is doing your shadow work at mm-hmm. the root. And if you practice any level of witchcraft or occult practice, everybody always is harping about, got to do your shadow work. But it really is important.
It's imperative.
You know, otherwise you're never going to improve your skills or improve yourself in general. How can you attract things to yourself if you aren't at your best, you know? So how would you recommend people go through the process of starting their shadow work?
Well, I do offer a thingamajig, and just so everyone knows, a thingamajig is short for thing of magic. I coined that. I wish I knew how to copyright it. Because people say, really? Is that what it means? I'm like, I made it up. It came to me. I don't know. But yeah, they're things of magic, thingamajigs. I'm a thingamagician. This represents the wounded inner child. Mm. And it's to be worn to empower a person to reclaim the parts of themselves that they've lost due to trauma. So reconciling the past, integrating all the gifts that we've either lost or hidden away due to what we've experienced. So this is kind of just a memento for remembering, and it holds the power to give one the courage and the strength to face that, because it can be heavy work. Mm-hmm. So this is to empower people on their journey. I know it looks morbid, you know.
Many of the most enlightening things do. Yes. You know, we always talk about how angels always say, be not afraid. There's a reason. Yeah. There's a reason they say that.
They're horrifying.
They're horrifying.
it's fascinating, though, because if you look at, you know, how the body stores trauma and things like that, oftentimes it is held in different portions of the body depending on what the trauma is. So it makes a lot of sense that it would have these wounds engraved into it, or I think, is it painted or is it?
Yeah, so this is actually a resin.
Oh, and, very nice.
Know, red dye and resin. So, yeah, in shamanism, there's a thing called soul fragmentation. Mm-hmm. So when you get a soul retrieval, you're actually retrieving certain aspects of the soul that have broken off, so to speak.
Sure.
Due to trauma that you've experienced. So this is inspired by that paradigm.
It's very fascinating. And It is, I can see why it would be a really great reminder, you know, to be like, that is you, that is mm-hmm. who you are, because your inner child is within you, you mm-hmm. know, everybody has one. And it's like, it just sometimes needs a little bit of working, mm-hmm. reworking, if you will. And it's so cool that you can like visually represent that for somebody.
Yeah, you can hold it and you grow closer to your own inner child, like mm-hmm. you're saying. And I try and make things that can help help people to empower themselves.
Right.
Right. I don't want to give anyone an answer or to be dependent upon anything. That's most of the issue now is we're dependent on things outside of ourselves. So this is just sort of a nudge for someone that needs to get you going, mm-hmm. Get you on the road. But yeah, at the end of the day, one's got to do the work for themselves through meditation, through therapy. Is shadow work?
Yeah, absolutely.
That is very true. It really is shadow work. And a lot of people think that, your shadow work has to look a certain way, but you're absolutely right. It can be as simple. Therapy is not simple by any means, but, it can be as the least glamorous, like therapy or things like that. Or simple journaling. I'm sure, mm-hmm. You would agree with that. Just brain dumping, whatever, comes to you when you're in that meditative state can help. See where does your subconscious go?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's fascinating too, because even in physical terms, we have this guarding that we do. Let's say I stub my toe and the toe really hurts. So I start limping. I start limping to protect the toe from having more pain. Mm-hmm. But by limping, I start to wear out on my hip. And now my hip kind of hurts. And so in order to facilitate that, I bend away from that hip, and now my spine hurts, and now I get a crick in the neck because as I bend this way, I'm straightening my neck that way, and now this deep pain in my neck is actually caused by trying to protect the toe, which has long since healed. And I think that people forget that if you're not aware of the damage that you have, you may have processes of guarding that are long out of date, but you still do them, and they still cause you pain, and they still cause you harm. So having a totem of your pain helps you understand that it's a part of you, and you can operate, knowing it's a part of you, because most people try to hide it. Mm-hmm. Most people try to bury it, or they think that by bullying through it, they're showing that it doesn't affect them. And it's like, it'll always affect you. You should embrace it. And surprisingly, through the embracing, which sounds like it's going to hurt, you can release it. You can give it peace. And so, yeah, I find it fascinating. That's solid. That's solid shadow work, because shadow work just sounds heavy and like and difficult to grasp. And it's like, look to yourself, care for yourself, protect yourself.
Yeah, first step is just remembering that there's work to do. You know, sometimes we, like you were saying, we get so habituated to trying to evade or fix something even that doesn't even need fixing anymore. It doesn't need guarding anymore. So knowing that we're hurt and just where and how we are hurt.
Right. And hurt is not the worst thing that can happen to us. That's another thing, is we're so afraid of being hurt that the prospect of being hurt causes us to cause more pain. The fear of being hurt, we put ourselves in deeper pain trying to avoid it. And it's like, that's fascinating how the mind tricks you.
Well, and I think a lot of people think, they see people they assume is they're all light and they're so happy and they're so wonderful. There's no way they could have a darker side. Everybody has a shadow side.
Oh, absolutely.
And once you understand that, it makes it a little less scary. You should embrace your shadow side because it's a part of you. Everybody is going to have to deal with it. And the more you push it away and you're like, I'm a light person, mm-hmm.
you're going to suffer more.
You're going to suffer more.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any other thingamajigs that you want to show us?
I've got some cool things.
Cool.
Let's see. Here's one.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
So I call this the Scepter of Knowledge.
Ooh.
And it's inspired by the forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge. So you see, we've got this little apple thing here, even though the real fall of man was not due to some apple. Yes. We shouldn't even get into that.
Yeah. Yes. That's another podcast.
Yes. So I crafted this to help a person to gain occult knowledge. You'd sit in meditation with this. It's just a focal point for that effort. Mm-hmm. And I've got, I'll show you a couple more.
This is
a shamanic scepter. And I crafted this. It's a rattle as well.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I crafted this to invoke the spirits of the four directions.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's kind of brilliant.
So you do this before you do a shamanic journey. If you want to go to the upper, middle, or lower worlds, you'd use something like this. As this has got amethyst, hematite, lapis lazuli on brass.
Right. Very nice.
And when I'm making a thingamajig, each piece has, because everything has a specific energy signature, right? Everything in the universe. So knowing all the parts that it's made up of, they all have to sort of correlate and make sense. Mm-hmm. People see this, they see the top of this, and they say, oh, this is, I've seen this in my clock hanging, sure. You know, and it is, right? Mm-hmm. It is, you know, this top piece. Because I take things and... It really was a gift from the universe, this ability, almost like a psychometric ability, to where I'll find something in random places, and something will tell me to put this with that, and they'll fit together perfectly.
Wow.
I'll give you a perfect example. I used to metal detect, mm-hmm. so... I didn't bring it with me, the thingamajig, but I found three different pieces in three different places on different days. And they were just like little doohickeys. That's what I call them before they're thingamajigs.
Of course. That makes perfect sense. Yes. The evolution of a doohickey.
Yes.
Doohickeys and witchmacallits. But these three different things, just little doohickeys. And something told me to put them together. No glue, no welding. And they just kind of fit together.
Wow.
And it's my favorite piece, actually. So this thing was in a clock, right?
Yeah.
So this deals with time.
Right.
Right. This is keeping time. And we know that the spirits are timeless, right? So this is the correlation. Every piece of magic, it's empowered the more correlation it has. Mm-hmm. Any spell you do, any ritual you do, the more, you know, colors... they all have their, you know, correlations, crystals. So as much as you can pack in there and it's cohesive, then the more power is in your piece.
So if you're using something like this for a, let's say you want to project into a different, you know, space, if you will, would this keep you grounded to this plane as well because it's association with a clock, kind of keeping that track of time of sorts?
So this, my intention was to open the space for spirits of all time to come. And when you are in time or in timelessness, there is nothing to fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to say void, but in a space of timelessness, there's nothing to fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in that way, it is grounding.
Sure, absolutely. They're just so cool. I'm like, I'm staring at them because I'm trying to observe every every bit of it.
The hematite is grounding too.
It is.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
And deflects negative energy.
Yeah, it's and it's fascinating too that you're able to. I agree that you probably do have a some level of a spirit team that is just like putting these things in your place, mm-hmm. in your path. To bring it to somebody else because mm-hmm. you have an innate knowledge that you can just put things together, which is so interesting. I've never met anybody else who does anything like this, so it's fascinating. Does the intention come to you while you're putting the doohickeys together?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know already what the intention is going to be? Or
sometimes I don't.
Really?
Most often I don't.
So it's kind of revealed to you.
Yeah, wow. It's revealed. I'll look at it and I'll say, yeah. What is this? And then it just comes through as to mm-hmm. what it is. You know, but the whole time I'm told how to put it together, you know, and what to put with it to empower it, to infuse it with more power. Because once you put a particular energetic signature with another, it creates sort of a whole new spirit. And that spirit has the power to do different things, manifest different things.
That's
true. And this does bring about sort of a realization of the path to mysticism or the path to understanding the energy around you, is that you can read, you can study, you can hit the books, you can do all these things, but a lot of times you will find your own path. Like, even if you're in a highly structured religious, you know, dogma, or, you know, being told very uniformly the recipe towards enlightenment, it has to be a personal journey. And oftentimes, because I think that's what happens right now, is there are a lot of people that are relying on the book. I'm going to order that book because it's going to tell me this, or I'm going to order that book and it'll tell me this, and I'm going to study it up. And it's like, you might be removing yourself from a process by not fully expressing your faith in action or your faith in, you know, moving. Because this is endlessly fascinating to me, and I'm curious as to what is your thought on the future of Azazelotry. What do you imagine? You know, is it a singular path? Are you looking to have people join you on that journey, or is it merely your way of defining the energies that are around us?
I would like to see the energy of Azazel kind of spread, and sort of promulgated throughout the world.
Sure.
Azazel's an androgynous energy. We're in the age of Aquarius, and this new age is an age of balance between the masculine and the feminine, dark and light. It's an age of enlightenment, and we're coming out of the Piscean era, an age of control, manipulation, lies. So really, the Azazelian energy is the energy of the age. It's not for nothing that, you know, he's reaching out, you know, to people. And the more star seeds and the more, they call them indigo children.
Sure. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The more of these really rebel angels that are being incarnated onto this planet, and there's over 100 million mm-hmm. right now on this planet, the more they can infuse this planet's, you know, psychic atmosphere with their energies. It's an energy of compassion. It's an energy of enlightenment, of higher thinking, mm-hmm. And not just rugged individuality, which, you know, we see a lot in the Western world, in our Western culture. But you have to get it within yourself before you can, you know, share it with anyone, or share in it with someone.
And so interesting that you bring up indigo children, because I find that so fascinating as well. Can you kind of explain a little bit? Because I don't think we've ever talked about this on the podcast.
Which is surprising.
Very surprising.
Actually, I think we may have in like the first clunk. We brought it up. We didn't do a deep dive.
Yeah.
But I know that we probably have at least mentioned it.
Right. Can you explain a little bit?
Real fast. We're getting into the Q&A time right now, which is perfect. Because,
okay.
One of the questions is, what is an indigo?
Yep, there you go.
Great.
Seda.
By Seda. Okay. So,
Seda.
So basically what JT just told me, is that we have Parajunkies who are listening and watching this on the live stream. And Seda asked the same question that I had, which I do know what an indigo child is, but I would love to hear your explanation of it, because you're so eloquent and honestly very fascinating to listen to. So would you like to explain a little bit?
From my understanding, and of course I want to hear your understanding. Mm-hmm. From my understanding, these are entities from other planetary systems, a more advanced planetary systems, because there's life all over this infiniverse. We have different densities. that occupy the same space that we're in now. So entities from those different realms, and they're coming here to lift the consciousness of our planet, the collective consciousness. They're here to shift the tides. Mm-hmm. Because there is a spiritual war happening right now. And we've long been in spiritual warfare. I don't want to talk too much about that, but they're here as warriors. They're spiritual warriors. Mm-hmm. And everyone's got a role to play. Everyone's got their liberation occupational specialty.
Exactly. Yeah. I hadn't heard it in the way of them being from other universes, if you will, or planets or things like that. And that could just be a variation of mm-hmm. whoever is spreading the information. You know, some people have a bizarre, you know, takes on multiverse sort of belief systems. But I kind of got the same notion from it, which is they are beings that are here on this plane who are meant to be rebellious, to cause change, to force change. And a lot of times you see them in large bursts as a generation. And we saw a lot of them with Gen Z, which would make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. You know, Gen Z really has been one of the first generations to not back down and call out the things that they see don't work anymore or don't service humanity anymore. And so I think that partially is because they are made up so much of these group of spirits, if you will. That's at least the take I've always gotten on it, but it is worth a deep dive because it is.
Yeah, we will dedicate a podcast to it because there are definite aspects of it that fit into people's belief in ufology, people's belief in parallel planes, mm-hmm. ultra dimensions, all these things, because it seems to always be about these singular people who have a purpose to bring an awareness of the universe to everyone else. And there's some wonderful documentaries and books out there on the subject, and we can definitely do a deep dive.
And we can do a deep dive in that same breath as the starseed as well, because starseeds are a whole different right. realm of being, if you will. But JT has sent me some of the questions from the Parajunkies. So first off, from every Parajunkie, have you ever considered a side hustle in ASMR?
I've done like one voiceover thing before, of course, having come from an acting background, but
maybe it's something you should pursue.
maybe I should. I've gotten that before.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. And then the next question comes from Megan. What brought you to Savannah?
So I was in New Orleans, and I was doing a show called the Alice Cocktail Experience. It was Alice in Wonderland in a bar.
That's fun.
Yeah. It was half scripted, half improvised. And I met a woman. Her name is Ilana LaBorraine.
And that's her name.
That is. It's also very New Orleans.
She's now my girlfriend.
Oh, very excellent. Nice. Yeah.
So she got a job offer for SCAD. And I was about to leave New Orleans anyway. And I was going to head back up north to Chicago. And I did do that. And it just so happened she was going there to visit her sister the month after I went. And she said, well, why don't you come back and live with me? Because we were missing each other and everything. And so I did. I came here, and I've been here since. And it's been great.
Well, we're happy you're here. And honestly, I'm sure you've enjoyed the spiritual community in Savannah, because there's quite a big one here. A lot of people don't realize that when they move here, because we are in the deep south. A lot of people mm-hmm. are like, people aren't into, you know, all the spirituality and things like that. But there are witches.
When you find it, it's great. You know, the thing about I've noticed about Savannah in particular, more so than most every other place I've been to, and I've been to a lot of places around the country, the community aspect here, when you do find a community and you get involved somewhat, they pull you in.
They do. Mm-hmm.
They
Absolutely.
Pull you in.
Yeah, yeah.
I was at Front Porch Improv, and of course, having come from acting, I had to go and, you know, do a show or a class. And so I did a class and did some shows with them, and they always invite me to come perform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that was surprising. Yeah. And at Cosmic Corner, I hang out with them and, you know, did a book club, The Artist's Way. And ever since then, I'm still, you know, they invite me to things. So it's very different. You don't have to claw your way into community. You just got to show up and support as well, you know, reciprocation. And it's really awesome.
And both of those groups are fantastic here in Savannah.
Absolutely.
If you ever come to visit, go see a show at Front Porch. They're wonderful, amazing improvisers. And same with Cosmic Corner. They're not improvisers, but they're amazing people. But they are.
Some of them may be chaos magicians.
Well, that is true. But
from now on, that's what all improvisers need to be called.
chaos magicians. But Cosmic Corner has been so cool. Just as a side note, Cosmic Corner is so cool because they've really done a great job of offering a space where people can learn and meet other people who are interested in spirituality in a very non-threatening way. They're just so cool. So check out their classes and things that they do while if you're here in Savannah. The next question comes from Alex. What is shadow work?
Shadow work is looking at your past and looking at your what we typically think of as our weaknesses, our shortcomings, the dark side. Looking at the dark side and, like a shaman, bringing light to dark and bringing the dark into the light.
Yeah. That's a perfect way to describe it.
Absolutely.
You know, and Alex, we can also do a deep dive into things like that as well if that's something you're interested in. Shadow work is, it's a broad topic, and it really is varying depending on.
And is oftentimes connected to before you do any spiritual work, you should be doing your shadow work so that those dark sides that you may not have addressed don't become liabilities while doing any other work. Mm-hmm. You know, without the shadow work, those traumas, darknesses, those things can be preyed upon. Or even just brought to the forefront without your knowledge, and you start to act on it as if it is the point of whatever work you might be doing. So when you hear people talk about shadow work, it sounds like they're saying, do the dark stuff. You know what I mean? And that is not it at all.
No. Yes.
It's an ongoing thing. It's not like, oh, I've done my shadow work. Right. Now I can start.
It's not a workout.
It's all the time, multiple times a day. You know, it's as simple as if you get a negative thought, a self-defeating thought that just comes into your mind, being conscious and aware enough to observe it and release it. Mm-hmm. Releasing negative thoughts, and energies, and sublimating them with higher energy, with positive thoughts.
Excellent. And I think, too, a good point to bring up is if when you are dealing with shadow work, you won't always like the things that come up.
Yes.
And you might not like those sides of you, but it's important to be aware, and it will make you a better person in the end. And sometimes that change is hard, but... the next question comes from, what is the thingamajig that's most powerful and why?
I have one at home that I could tell you about that's super powerful, and I would never use it myself. Most of my thingamajigs I don't use. They're for other people, like you brought up, you know, the universe tells me to make them for other people, but I'll show you one that I have that's quite powerful.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So this is a timeline tuner.
Mm.
You guys, have you seen the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Yes.
Absolutely.
That was like the best movie. And it got the award for it. So it was so good. So this is a focal point for meditation to tune into any version of yourself throughout the multiverse or infiniverse, right? Because every possible possibility, every possible outcome exists somewhere in the infiniverse, right? Every version of you that you can imagine is somewhere. So let's say I wanted to be better at math, and I would sit with this timeline tuner, and I would tap into the version of myself that is a mathematician, a rocket scientist. That is not me in this. But yeah, whatever this is, that's not my experience. But I can cultivate that. It's quantum jumping, quantum.
Sure. Right. Which has become very, very popular over the last decade or so. People doing cup jumping and quantum jumping and things of that nature. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's very powerful, because if you can tune into the infinite field of potentials, and really align yourself with your desired potentiality, then you can manifest most anything, because it's all possible. And right. we see impossible, seemingly impossible things happen all the time. So it's a matter of aligning with that vibration, bringing that idea into the material. And of course, you have to act upon it too in the physical.
And the way it's shaped, I just want to plop a clear quartz ball on top of a sphere on top of it. It would be the perfect thing. Would that manifest in a good way, do you think?
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. It's beautiful, though. And is that moonstone in the bottom?
This stone, I don't even know what it is. I bought this in Tucson, Arizona, and I've never seen another crystal like it. And I've been looking for
it. Fascinating.
Yeah.
It is fascinating. Yeah, because moonstone comes to mind, but it also...
I know it's not a moonstone.
Yeah, it also comes with a quartz...
Right.
Sensation
it's like
an
opal right. feel
oh, yes.
to it.
Opalesque. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
yeah. No, that's quite a piece, actually.
Thank you.
Can almost sense its draw, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, looking at it, you have this sense of almost, at least for me, there's a quickening of the heart. There's a something about it makes me... agitated. But not aggressively, just like... I'm looking at the thing.
It's a powerful piece.
It is a powerful piece.
If you wanted
absolutely.
To see the most powerful piece, it's the one I have on me.
Right.
The most powerful I have on me. So this represents these serpents of time, you know.
Sure.
Past, present, and future.
And then also the circles going down.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Channeling, you know, from the macrocosm to the microcosm.
And there are numerous meditations that lead you, guided meditations that lead you to the ideal self that had put the work in. So when you when you meditate to, like, you know, imagine encountering yourself, but the self that you want to be, or the self that, you know, it's fascinating, because I think that's become a very popular idea, is that at any moment you can jump off the rails of the reality that we are experiencing and onto the rails of the next reality. Mm-hmm. So much so that the Mandela effect is now a part of our common parlance to suggest that people are doing this all the time, that as a culture, we jump the rails and now we're in some other, you know, reality that doesn't include some things that we all remember. You know, everybody has this collective memory of something that turns out not to exist. And you're like, oh, how did that happen? It's like, well, that could be part of that explanation is we're all straining away from a certain reality, and we find ourselves kind of plunked over into a reality where certain histories are different.
Exactly. And then the last question that I've got so far comes from Michaela. When can you come back so we can hear you talk more?
I will come back anytime you have me. I love being here.
We've just got a new regular installment.
Yes.
Because I'm very fascinated with the progress of your as a zealotry. I'd be very interested to hear about how it grows and how it affects people. Because it's a fascinating line, because we spend so much time being deity-centric that we forget that there were so many people, so many things, so many varieties of entities that contributed to our advancement and our understanding. And we've kind of, like, created like a lesser influence and a greater influence. But the truth of the matter is, even a person, even a human being, has the ability to guide people to great ends. And so I'm fascinated by, you know, because I've never heard of it before. So
thank you. And I will definitely let you know of what we're doing and keep you posted. Azazelis Outreach is a service ministry. At the end of the day, not only just lifting the consciousness and, you know, aiding the spiritual awakening on this planet, but also serving the environment. So many horrible things are happening to the water, to the air, deforestation, desertification, all these things, atrocities that we have to take a stand. So many horrible things are happening in wars. You know, I'm not going to bring that up, but people are being bullied everywhere. And I'm for the underdog. I'm for the person that's being bullied. Actually, my name, Papa Yoni Das. A lot of people, they hear that and they think it's funny because they hear the word Yoni. And and they say, oh, Papa Yoni. It probably doesn't mean what you think. So Das means servant. And Yoni refers to the female anatomy. But when you put Papa in front of Yoni, Papa means sin. So Papa Yoni means one born of inauspicious circumstances. This would refer to the marginalized, the disenfranchised, the oppressed populations of this world. So servant Das to the marginalized, to the people that are being bullied. So I want to stand up to, you know, and that's my liberation occupational specialty is to be a spiritual warrior against religious zealots that are, you know, that claim to be people of light but are doing some dark things.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and the people that they claim to be dark are really bringing us light. So we really have to look at what we deem good and evil, because a lot of times it's opposite.
Exactly.
And yeah, sometimes it's devastatingly obvious, you know, when you really just stop to look at the mechanics of these things. Mm-hmm. That really does bring about a wonderful retrospection of the fact that the times are compressing us to action. You know, all of the things that you listed off are reasons to rebel, are reasons to stand up and fight. And now the question is, are we going to?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And one last question, actually. There is, it's from Coley. What is your...
Coley.
Yes. Hello, Coley. She's a new para junkie. What is your suggestion for someone who feels called to or interested in practicing shadow work?
What is my suggestion for someone who feels interested or called to do shadow work? Be prepared to change. Be prepared to give up all that you've been, all that you've had, all that you've known. Things that are not serving you, they will be stripped from you. If you truly want to advance in your life, you have to be ready to surrender everything for a higher taste and for the highest, greatest good of all involved, not just yourself. It is not an egoic endeavor. When you undergo shadow work, the result is going to be for the highest, greatest good of the cosmic web.
And also, that's a great answer.
Yeah. Solid.
That's a very solid answer. Also, too, like you had mentioned, we're in the age of Aquarius. You might be feeling that way as well, because this is the time where things that are not serving people are being ripped away from you, because that is the nature of Aquarius. It's because Aquarius is in Pluto right now, which is Pluto is the planet of death. You know, Pluto does the same thing where it's like, that's not working for you, honey. You know, so you need to go get you a thingamajig and work on your shadow self, you know, and, but Before we let you go back into the world, can we ask, first off, is there anything you want to plug?
You can find me oftentimes, if you live in Savannah, at Forsyth Park. I'm there selling my thingamajigs. I have a website, Coven Curio, covencurio.com, and I make custom thingamajigs. So anything that you want to manifest, anything you want aid in bringing into your life or taking something out of your life, I can make a custom thingamajig just for you. Azazelis, thank you.
Yes, JT said that he'll link it.
Azazelis Outreach on Facebook. We're building a community here in Savannah, and hopefully it'll, you know, branch out. TikTok.
Yes.
I'm on TikTok as well. I'm not so technologically savvy, but I do post on TikTok, and you can find me at Azazelis_outreach. Azazelis_outreach.
And then one last question. What would you say is your magical tip of the day?
Magical tip of the day. I can you qualify that?
Okay, yes. What would you say, what's one thing you can do today to help progress your way to enlightenment, if you will?
One thing you can do today to help progress your way to enlightenment. You've got to be open. And like in my ministry, there's expansion, there's expression, and there's experience. So knowing, before you embark on something, knowing just what you're going to get out of it. You know, are you going to experience? Are you going to expand? Are you going to express yourself? That's what life is about. So if you find yourself in a position to where your magic workings are not going to express what you really want to come across or convey, it's probably best to let that one go. You know, is it going to expand you in a way that you want to be expanded? Right? Is it going to expand you to depths, you know, another low cycle, a valley that you'll have to climb your way out of? Or is it going to expand your horizons towards ever greater manifestation? You know, so these things we have to think about, you know, and it's easy to remember, XXXX, expansion, expression, experience.
That's a great tip of the day. That's perfect.
Perfect.
Well, thank you so much, Papa Yoni, for coming in today and talking to us and answering some of the Parajunkie questions. I know that they thoroughly enjoyed this. So, and we've thoroughly enjoyed just listening to you and talking with you. So,
thank you. This has been so fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
And like Papa Yoni said, you can follow him on TikTok, on Facebook. So go check him out and send him lots of love. But with that, thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. And my name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And stay spooky, y'all.